De videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Again and welcome back. Okay, here we are again, back together for another half-hour segment. Today's Tuesday, the 23rd of February. Yes, sir. How many years ago? 40 years ago. On this day, Tejero entered the, Coronel Tejero entered the hemiciclo, entered the parliament, and said, and they started a coup d'etat. Yes, but you know, I don't know what day of the week was February 23rd, 1981, Lunes. It was a Monday. You know, it's strange. I remember that day very well when the coup d'etat took place, or an attempt, un intentono de golpe de estado. And they, I never listened at that time, and today I never listened to the radio. Never. Not in my car. In my car, I didn't have a radio. It was stolen twice. The second time, I didn't bother to install a third radio, so I drove without a radio. And so I never listened to the radio at home, nor in my car. And I got home on Monday, the 23rd of February, 1981. I had driven back from Getafe. And for some reason, I don't remember why, just I turned on the radio, a transistor radio. You remember los transistores? Aquí se dice un transistor. A transistor radio. Around 10 minutes or 5 minutes to 7. And maybe 5 minutes to 7. Because I had 7 o'clock, I listened to the news. I had not done that in 5 years. But I turned on the radio at about 5 minutes to 7. And there was military music on the radio. But I was with my wife and another person, and we were talking. I wasn't paying attention. I was waiting. I was conversing, waiting for the news to start at 7. At about 7:05, I noticed, hey, it's 5 minutes past 7. Then there's no news. Still military music. And I said to my wife, habrá habido un golpe de estado. Pero en broma, there has probably been. En español se diría, habrá habido un golpe de estado, seguramente. Si no, no me... And in English, we'd say, there probably has been a coup. And I was right. Sure enough, within 15 or 20 minutes, it was clear from other radio stations there was something going on, something strange was happening. And that was the 23rd of February, 1981. It was such a freak coincidence that I turned on the radio. Otherwise, nobody in my house would have even realized there was a golpe until maybe 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the evening. We would not have known. Unless somebody had called us. Hey, have you heard what's happening? No, I haven't heard what's happening. But in any case, welcome to Tuesday's edition, not Monday. It's Tuesday the 23rd, the cruelest day, Tuesday. I think we have one more Tuesday. Nope. This is the last Tuesday of the month of February. February is a short month. This year, only 28 days. All right, let's work on a little bit of the passive voice. Cuando quieren que se haga? Translate that sentence. Cuando quieren que se haga? Can you translate that? Try. I'll give you 5 seconds to translate it. Cuando quieren que se haga? Okay, time's up. Cuando quieren que se haga? When do they want it to be done? When do they want it to be done? O sea, cuando quieren que ello sea hecha o sea hecho. Ello. When do they want it to be done? When do they want it to be done? Ya se ha hecho. It has already been done. Contracción. It's already. It's already. It's already been done. It's already been done. It's already. It's. IT apostrophe S. It's already. Y lo hacemos. It's already. It's already been done. It's already been done. Si hicieras una pequeña, un pequeño sonsonete, it's already been done, obligándote a decir it's all con esa fonética. It's already been done. It's already been done. It's already, it's already, it's already been done. Any melody is fine. It's already been done. For 2 minutes or 3 minutes, boom. Ya tienes la truco la fonética ahí. It's already been done. It's already been seen. It's already been sent. It's already. Okay. Cuando quieren que se haga? When do they want it to be done? When do they want it to be done? It's already been done. Yeah? It's already been done. Yes. It's already been done. Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. When was it done? When was it done? Yes, when was it done? It was done last night. It was done during the night. Wow, I didn't know that. You say it was done during the night. Yes, it was done during the night. ¿Saben que ya se ha hecho? Do they know that it's already been done? Do they know that it's already been done? No se lo he dicho todavía. I haven't told them yet. I haven't told them yet. Pues entonces ya no hace que falta que se haga, ¿verdad? So it's no longer necessary to get it done. We don't need to do it. It doesn't have to be done. In the end, it doesn't have to be done. We don't need to do it. Yes, no hace falta. It's not necessary. We don't need to do it. It doesn't have to be done. All right, so working on the passive voice a little bit. So, one thing we know for sure, that it's already been done. It was done during the night. What it was, I have no idea. Maybe it was repairing a big critical machine in the factory. Because when a critical machine breaks down in a factory, it stops the factory. And that's a big, big problem if sales are booming. Because you can't sell something you don't have. Well, sometimes they do, but you can't sell something you don't have in stock. And if the factory stops because of one single machine, which happens sometimes, the sales department is pulling out its hair, saying, we're losing potential sales because the factory, they can't get their act together. They can't get their act together. That means no se organiza, no se... I don't know how to say that. We also say they can't get their shit together. They can't get their act together. They need to get their act together. And we're losing sales. A sales manager who is working, whose salary includes an important commission, gets very, very angry if he loses, or she, if they lose sales because of factory problems. Often there's a big fight between the production manager and the sales manager in a company. Typical, it's natural. The production manager doesn't want to be pressured to produce faster because he can make mistakes or machines can break down. But the sales manager wants to have beautiful finished goods in the finished goods warehouse waiting to be shipped to the customer. The sales manager wants beautiful finished goods. Hermosos productos terminados, finished goods, in the finished goods warehouse, el almacén de productos terminados, the final goods warehouse or the finished goods warehouse, to be shipped, a ser despachados, embarcados, camino del cliente, to be shipped to the client, well, to the customer in this case. Customers buy products, clients buy services. But that's part of life in any business that's dependent on manufacturing or similar, that's dependent on production. Manufacturing is not the right word if we're referring to chemical products. We don't say to manufacture oil, we say to produce. So the best word is production. The word production covers everything. La manufactura, then the sector del metal, and so we say production. The production manager, factory manager, sales manager, sales and marketing manager. The sales manager often is dependent partially on a commission. It's an incentive system. The salespeople have an incentive system. The manufacturing people often don't. You know, if the production manager had the same type of commission as the sales manager, maybe he or she would work much more diligently and be more focused in making sure that all the machines are in perfect condition, that the maintenance is perfect, that plant engineering is working, and that they're producing in machining and in assembly. Machining means mecanizado, assembly is montaje. But you have to be careful because incentive systems can sometimes, the best what you consider maybe the best potential design of an incentive system, later after 1 year you realize, what a mistake. I'm motivating people in the wrong way. They're cutting corners. Cutting corners means escatimando aquí allá. They're cutting corners to meet their production and sales goals for the money. And they're starting to get careless. Descuidado. They're starting to get careless. So, ya se hizo. Se hizo durante la noche. It's already been done. It was done. It's already been done. La B de Ben es B dura. Si vas a hacer la canción, son sonete. It's already been done. 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 It's already been. La B in English is B muy explosiva, abrupta, dura. Ba, 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 Barbarin. Went to the dance looking for romance, Barbarin. Barbara. All right, so it's a hard D. A hard B, excuse me. All right, ¿me puedes echar un poco más de whiskey? Can you pour a little bit more whiskey, please? No se dice me. Can you pour for me? Hey, can you pour me? Bueno, se puede decir. Can you pour me a little bit more whiskey, please? Oh, my. If you go, people in Spain don't know how good they have it sometimes. You go to Great Britain and to any pub and you order a whiskey with on the rocks or a whiskey with water or whatever, and they measure it. It's perfectly measured to the millimeter, and it's very little whiskey, really. You say, "My, that's un doble," but then they charge you double. Those British boys, especially British boys, come down to Spain and say, "Whiskey con hielo," and then the waiter starts pouring whiskey, and the eyes pop out of the British tourist and, "Wow, my God, he filled 1/3 of the glass with whiskey." They can't believe it. How much more whiskey is given. I don't drink whiskey. I only drink beer and wine. I don't drink spirits. I don't like spirits, to tell you the truth. But I imagine it's an acquired taste. My father drank a lot of whiskey, scotch. And But I guess it's an acquired taste. Or if you're an alcoholic, it's an addiction, of course, and that's a different question. But I've never been addicted to anything, I think. I'm not addicted to money. I've never been addicted to alcohol. I've never been addicted to drugs. Maybe I'm addicted to life. I don't think so. I'm not addicted to anything, thank God. I don't suffer any addictions, but I'm addicted to eating. I like to eat. Maybe I should. You know, I did stop drinking wine for about 2 weeks. And I didn't feel, you know, I drink about a half bottle of wine a day. So, I mean, that's not recommendable, a half bottle. Well, I don't think they really know, but most experts say, you know, a half bottle of wine a day is, at the end of the year, is a lot of liters of wine, a lot of alcohol. And so I try, and besides, it's more difficult to lose weight if you drink a half bottle of wine a day, because wine contains sugar and other ingredients that don't help you if you want to stay slim or lose weight. So I decided one time, well, I'm going to stop drinking wine. And I stopped for 2 weeks. And it was no problem. No problem. However, I didn't enjoy my meals as much. I didn't look forward to having lunch or dinner, which should be okay because eating is basically combustible. You know, you just need fuel in your body, and that's it. That's what eating is for. Eating is not necessarily to enjoy. It's just to stay alive and to repostar, let's say. How do you say repostar in English? I don't remember. To get fuel. Let me check on repostar in English. Repostar, let's see, in English. To refuel. Okay, refuel, see? To refill the tank. To stock up on something, but to refuel. Yeah, recombustibilizar. Okay, to refuel. Fuel. Fíjate la pronunciación de combustible. Se escribe fuel. Y de hecho se dice aquí fuel. En vez de gasóleo o algo así, something like fuel. Diesel fuel. But it's fuel. Como unos pocos. Fuel. Fuel. To refuel. All right, repostar. I prefer the word repostar. I like that word. I think it's a cool verb. Repostar. You know, so if you, I don't know, yo reposto or yo repuesto. I mean, if you conjugate the verb, Spanish verb repostar, ayer reposté. Todos los días yo repuesto. You know, I don't know how to, I suppose it's repuesto. Repuesto diario. Of course, nobody says it. But let's see, conjugación, verbo, repostar. Let's see what it says. Conjugación, repostar, let's see. Yo reposto, no es yo repuesto, no, yo reposto. Tú repostas, él reposta, repostamos, repostáis, repostan. ¿Con qué frecuencia repostáis? Okay. ¿Con qué frecuencia reposto? Sounds funny. But repuesto también sounds funny. Both of them sound funny. But the next time I'm speaking to somebody, no. Yo reposto dos veces por mes. It's true. I take my car even less now, about once every 3 weeks. I fill the tank. I refuel. I fill the tank. Yes. In the future, with more and more electric cars, well, it'll be a different question. Recharging, not reposando, recargar, recharging. But according to many experts, if every single car starting next year, if every single car on the planet were electric, it would be impossible to refuel them because no country has enough electrical power to refuel so many cars. You would need to double or triple the infrastructure for electricity. So there are other indirect costs for electric cars. Although I like electric cars, I'm not going to buy one until the autonomy is much greater. And the refueling, the recharging is much more, is much easier. So which means I'll probably never buy. Now, when I was a teenager and a young adult, I spent a lot of time on electric golf carts. And it was cool, so I enjoyed it. Very, very silent. But nevertheless, we'll see what happens concerning electric vehicles. All right, let's go on. ¿Me puedes echar un poco más de whiskey, por favor? Can you pour me a little more whiskey? To pour, P-O-U-R, verter, echar líquidos, o con una sopa. ¿Me echas un poco más de sopa, de caldo? Can you pour a little bit more soup, please? Quiero ofrecer un brindis. ¿Cómo se dice eso en inglés? ¿Ah? I want to make a toast. ¿Quieres hacer una tostada? No. Se escribe igual. Toast. I want to make a toast. Quiero hacer una tostada would be I want to make a... We don't say to make. I want toast. I want toast, or a piece of toast. Toast in English is uncountable. The food, you know, un pan tostado is pan tostado. No decimos una tostada. Decimos pan tostado. And so we don't say, yo quiero un pan tostado. Yo quiero un trozo de pan tostado. I want a piece of toast. To toast is tostar. Yo tuesto, tú tuestas, ¿no? I think. Eso sí que es UE. Repostar, but tostar, I think it's yo tuesto. ¿Con qué frecuencia tuestas pan? Yo tuesto pan a diario. Let's see. I'm doing Spanish conjugations today. Del verbo tostar. And see, yo tuesto, estoy seguro, seguro. ¿No? Yo tosto, I can't believe. Sí, yo tuesto, tú tuestas. All right. Toste. Sounds funny. Spanish speakers never use these verbs conjugated. But a toast doesn't mean una tostada, I'm sorry. A piece of toast, yes. Es un pan tostado. But a toast is un brindis. So, quiero ofrecer un brindis, which I want to make a toast. I want to make a toast to the bride and to the groom. A los novios. To the bride and groom. May you live happily ever after and eat partridge. In the United States, if I go to a wedding and I say, may you eat partridge, people will look at me and say, what? Eat partridge? Comer perdices, claro. Everybody in Spain understands. Que comáis toda la vida perdices. Yes. Ser felices y comer perdices. Fine. But in English, no. We don't eat. Well, we eat partridge, but we don't use it as a sign of prosperity and happiness. Here, yes, it's a sign, un signo, a sign of prosperity and happiness. Y comieron perdices. All right. Fueron felices. In English, and they lived happily ever after. Snow White and the Prince, I suppose they lived happily ever after. I doubt that they got a divorce after that. Snow White seemed like a very sweet girl, and the Prince seemed like a really nice guy. So I'm sure they got old together happily. All right. And Sleeping Beauty as well. La Bella Durmiente, Sleeping Beauty. And of course also Beauty and the Beast. Once the Beast turned into a real person again, they lived happily ever after in the prince's castle. Wonderful little stories. Yes, I wonder if the current generation sees these movies. It's a different approach. I mean, when I was growing up in the 1950s, when I was little, a little boy, we saw all of these movies. But we saw a movie like this once a month. And in the meantime, maybe we saw another movie of cowboys and Indians or adventures. But the most, we saw a movie maybe once a week, at the most. Now kids see movies and TV series 7 hours a day, every day, and things. Of course, I watch TV. when I was a little boy. It had an impact on me, but television was, there were only three channels. And usually there was nothing on television interesting for me. During the day were the soap operas for my mother and game shows. Concursos televisivos y telenovelas. Yes, soap operas, óperas de jabón. Se dice en inglés, todavía se dice soap operas. And game shows. Concursos televisivos se dice game show. Espectáculo de juego. Game shows. And so my mother watched those when she was ironing or sewing or taking a break. And so I didn't watch these shows. And in the evenings, my father's shows that he wanted to watch, there were only three channels. And there was only one TV in the house. So I didn't watch that much television, to tell you the truth. I'll be right back.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza, Cleopatra y Marco Antonio, Adán y Eva, Romeo y Julieta, Vaughan y Disney. ¿Eh?
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Por fin puedes disparar tu carrera profesional sin salir de casa. Máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Young people in Spain speak and understand English better today than 20 years ago. However, their level is still insufficient for effective communication in the professional world. If you're a young person, and if you want to progress in your profession rapidly and decisively, stop everything and focus now 100% on English. Get the problem 100% out of the way now. Don't postpone it.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana? Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación telefónica con un angloparlante con el ingrediente clave del método Vaughan para empresas. Consulta condiciones en el 91-133-5831. 91-133-5831.
Are you ready to start the class?
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura tres meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91-133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan live.
Hello and welcome back. Our fourth half hour, the last half hour of today's Tuesday edition of Richard Vaughan Live. Let's continue, shall we? Ha habido un ligero retraso en las entregas. There has been contraction. There's been un ligero retraso. There's been a slight delay. Light, sin la S delante, significa luz, claro. También significa encender, to light a cigarette. Pero también significa ligero de peso. The opposite of heavy is light. O sea, ligereza física, lo que es físicamente ligero es light. Lo que es de forma figurada ligera es, según S delante, slight. Yes. Hay una luz leve, there's a slight light. En este caso, un retraso, a delay. There's been a slight delay. There's been a slight delay in las entregas. There's been a slight delay in the deliveries. In the deliveries. What do you mean by a slight delay? Well, the deliveries were scheduled to arrive tomorrow, the 24th of February. But as I say, there's been a slight delay in production and in the deliveries. I repeat, what kind of delay are we talking about? Well, instead of the 24th, tomorrow the 24th, we believe that we can deliver the goods, los géneros, la mercancía, we can deliver the goods by the 24th of March. 1 month! We can't have a 1 month delay. Well, I'm sorry, we're having production problems. Well, I'll find another factory to produce my products. There's been a slight delay. ¿A qué se debe el retraso? What's the reason for the delay? Claro, ¿a qué se debe? Literalmente traducido, what's the delay due to? But we don't usually formulate a question like that. It's correct. What is the delay due to? What's the delay due to? We say, what's the reason for the delay? ¿Cuál es la razón? What's the reason for the delay? Y luego la respuesta, sí, con due to, si quieres. No, the delay is due to production problems. We've had a problem with a machine in the factory. And that machine is critical for production. And we can't repair it, and we need to wait for a technician from Iowa. From the United States. Yes, it's a very sensitive machine. It's a very expensive machine. It's an incredible machine that makes, you know, that speeds up production 300%. But it's a complicated machine, and so we need to have, well, a team of technical people will come from Iowa next Monday. Okay. And so we're not sure. To be on the conservative side, estar en el lado conservador, in predecir, on predicting, to predict. It's a 1 month delay. Gosh, a one-month delay. We can't have a one-month delay. Toloba mas lento cuando llueve. Everything goes more slowly when it rains. What do you mean when it rains? Well, this is a machine problem. No, it's another problem we have. Everything goes more slowly when it rains. Here in Spain, yeah, when it rains, everything goes more slowly. The traffic, everything. Pero llueve 250 días por año en Bélgica y las cosas no van más despacio. Yeah, it rains 250 days a year in Belgium and things don't go more slowly. So, I mean, it's simply because people are not used to the rain. It is true that in Spanish cities, when it rains, the traffic slows down considerably. And this doesn't happen in Paris or in Brussels or in London or in Hamburg, where people are used to the rain. But I mean, here people are used to the rain as well, but when they drive, they slow down. They always slow down. Everything slows down. Todo se ralentiza o se desacelera. Everything slows down when it rains. Tienes que alcanzar el ritmo de los demás alumnos. You have to catch up. Así se dice. Yeah, así de sencillo. You have to catch up with the rest of the students. You're holding them back. Estás ralentizando ritmo. You're slowing down the pace. Escrito pase. You're holding back the group. It's a group of six. Five of the students are doing very well, but you're not. You're slowing down the class. You're holding back the rest of the students who want to progress more quickly. And me, as the teacher, I have a dilemma because I don't want to leave you behind. In every class, you fall farther and farther behind. So you have to make a special effort to catch up. And if you don't, I'll have to move you to another class. No, but I'm as good as the rest. I'm not holding back the class. Yes, you are. You're holding back the class seriously. It's very, very clear to me and to everybody else that the class could go much more smoothly and much more quickly if you're not there, unless you decide to make a special effort to catch up. And it may not seem like that to you, but you're not understanding the situation. You're not seeing the situation. So, you're holding back. Retrasando a los demás alumnos, a la clase. Retrasando el ritmo de la clase. El progreso es to hold back. To hold back. You're holding back the group. You're slowing down the pace. I have to stop every time and explain to you again the same concepts I've been explaining to the rest for 2 weeks, and you still don't get it right. You still don't seem to assimilate it. So maybe learning English is not your forte. Maybe it's not your strength. It's not your strong point. And you need to make a special effort. Otherwise, I'll have to move you back to a lower group. This happens sometimes. When you have a group of six students, which is the maximum in Vaughan Systems, six, except in junior, there's usually one person who's having more problems. It's very difficult to avoid. Usually, however, the difference is not so much that it holds back the class. And sometimes the teacher will make the decision just to move forward and to let the other student flounder. To flounder is what a person does when he falls into the ocean and doesn't know how to swim. To flounder, flounder. También es un tipo de pez. Platija es un pez, como el lenguado. Now, revolverse, luchar, to flounder. When you say flounder, it means luchando físicamente en agua. O en barro, you're floundering. Te está peleando para salir del agua o del barro. And you're floundering. A student dando muchos palos de ciego en un intento. And gives a bad impression. So, you're holding back the rest of the class. Tienes que alcanzar el ritmo. You have to catch up. You have to catch up. You have to catch up with the rest. You're falling behind. Slowly you're falling more and more behind. Yes, so we need to do something. This is a common problem always, especially in mathematics. In classes with 30 kids teaching algebra, kids age 12, 13, and the teacher is teaching algebra. Certain kids just don't get it. They just don't get it. Simplemente no lo entienden, no lo captan. No lo captan. They just don't get it. And it's tough for the teacher, but the teacher wants to teach to the good students who are really learning and to help them move quickly. But the teacher also has to help the slow ones. Sometimes it's a question in secondary school and primary school. Sometimes it's a question of physical maturity. Children mature at different ages. Some children begin to pass through puberty at age 10 or 11. Other kids, they don't start until they're 12 or 13. And so the brain circuitry, circuitería cerebral, the brain circuitry is different. And so a child at age, some children at age 12 can understand algebra, or geometry, perfectly. And another no, at the same age. But 2 years later, the slow student, if he or she survives, ends up being better. Because they mature later, and they are what we call a late bloomer, florecedor tardío, a late bloomer. And so the school systems, public schools and private school systems, really can't accommodate this type of problem because they have classes of 20 or 30. In my case, when I was in school, it was in Oklahoma, it was 20, 35 students in the class. And it was okay. Yes, I enjoyed the class and the teacher. It was good. The other day, about 1 month ago, here on this radio, or 2 months ago, I was pondering on the benefit, whether it's better to be in a class of 35 or in a class of 10. Imagine, for the same price, the school tells you, well, in our school, the average class size is 10. The teacher-student ratio, the student-teacher ratio, is 10 to 1. La relación alumno-profesor. The student-teacher ratio, escrito ratio, se pronuncia ratio. Claro, la palabra ratio es importante en contabilidad. Análisis contable. Ratios, se dice aquí ratios. En inglés ratio, SH muy fuerte, sonido SH, como ella, she. Ratio. The student-teacher ratio is 10 to 1. Everybody says, wow, cool, you can learn a lot. But that other school, for example, has a student-teacher ratio of 35 to 1. Oh my God, complicated. However, my experience is that 35 to 1 is better. And it's strange because I've thought about this, not for learning English, not for learning English, but for history or for mathematics or whatever. Because the teacher, when there are 35 students, the teacher is forced to become also a show person, to make a strong effort. And so it's easier for a teacher to develop a good teaching style, a powerful teaching style, if the teacher has 35 students than if the teacher has 10. There's too much intimacy with only 10. The teacher relaxes more, doesn't teach with the same power, the same impetus. I was always in big classes. I was surprised because I looked back. I found some photographs or the pictures of the students in my class, and I counted. My God, there were 35 of us. It's quite a few. And so I learned fine. And the teachers were good, mostly. Especially primary school. They were outstanding. Secondary school, I have different types. When the teachers are teaching young adults, adolescents, some teachers want to be like a teenager. So you can have a 45-year-old woman teaching science, but her students are 14, 15, and she wants to be like them. And she comes down to their psychological level, and it doesn't work very well. I remember a science teacher I had. She was nice, but she came too far down to our level. She wanted to be chummy with us. It doesn't work very well that way, to be chummy. That's an interesting word, chum. Chum means amigete, chum. C-H-U-M, chum, chum. Aquí dice amigote, camarada, compinche, cuate in Mexico. Mi cuate. All right, chum. Now, chummy, añadiendo M-Y, chummy, means amistoso. Bueno, dice aquí amistoso. No, no, no. Bueno, yes. Pero amistoso y muy cercano. Very, very chummy, chummy. Íntimo. Not sexual at all, no. Just an intimate friend. Close. A very close friend. They're very chummy. And the teacher sometimes wants to get chummy with the students who are 15 and 16, 14. It doesn't work very well. It doesn't work very well. But in any case, friendly. Are you a friendly person? I hope so. So, no llegarás a ninguna parte con esa actitud. Okay. You won't get anywhere with that attitude, my friend. Either you change your attitude or I will not. I do not predict a good future for you. This happens all the time, in which a teacher says, "Wow, this person will get nowhere." And 10 years later, the person is a multimillionaire, very successful. Robbie Williams. Robbie Williams, you know, the singer, pop singer, who originally started with Take That, the British boys band or boys group. Robbie Williams' song to his teacher. He wrote a song a bit about Hello, Sir, was that it? I can't remember. Maybe it was Hello, Sir. Hello, Sir, remember me? I'm the man you thought I'd never be. The boy who you reduced to tears. The lad called Thingy for 6 whole years. Yeah, that's right, my name's Bob. The one who landed the pop star's job. The one who you told looks don't touch. Look, don't touch. The kid who wouldn't amount to much. Well, I'm here and you're still there. With your fake sports car and your receding hair. Doggy Farah trousers that you think are smart. Married to the woman that teaches art. Married to the life, married to the school. I want to sing and dance, sir. Now who's the fool? Okay, well, here you have Robbie Williams. He's from Manchester, or just north. I think Robbie Williams was born and brought up in a town within the orbit of the city of Manchester. Maybe a bedroom community of Manchester. Very intelligent boy, very good pop star, very good pop artist. He was a bit lucky, of course, because they found him for Take That. He was the youngest. But because he was cute means mono, chico mono, and cute. And he sang well. He sings very well. He has a good voice. He became popular in Take That. Then he left Take That and started on his own and managed to break and be successful. So my hat's off to Robbie Williams. And he, you know, If it's true what he says, you know, if it's true that the teacher told him that he wouldn't amount to much, that means no llegarás a valer nada. Oh, mucho. You won't amount. Usando el verbo amount. Cantidad. Amount. Monto. Cantidad. To amount to is an interesting verb. It means you just will not, you will not gain much value in your life. To amount to. En español. A ver cómo se dice en español. Amount to. Oh, dice aquí cantidad. Ah, no, no, no. Amount to. In, word reference, the verb to mount to, no ascenderás, no llegarás a hacer algo, to mount to. And so the teacher said that to him, what do you think, don't you, my first impression is to say, you know, that teachers shouldn't say that to kids, that you'll never amount to anything. However, I agree with Robbie Williams. I mean, the teacher shouldn't put down students. I get very irritated and angry with teachers who put down, rebajan, menosprecian a los alumnos, subestiman o rebajan delante de ellos. I don't like teachers like that. Now, it is true that a teacher needs to warn students, advertirles. I remember I gave a talk about 3 or 4 years ago in a university here in Madrid, a private university, to a group of about 60 people, maybe 70 people. Most of them were students, but there were also professors and administrators there. And when I finished the talk and the people left, I was talking with one of the professors or one of the organizers. And he said, I asked 7 of them to stay. I want you to talk to them because they are not making an effort in the English class. And if they don't, we will have to suspend them. We will have to expel them from the school if they don't pass English. If they don't reach un C1, if they don't reach a C1 level, you need to talk to them. So I talked to them afterwards, a second speech, basically. But I told them, I said, look, a lot of people reach success without English. There are 10 doors of opportunity available. And if you don't speak English well, 4 of those doors are closed. The other 6 are open, you know. But 4 of them are closed completely and locked. But if you reach a good level of English, those 4 doors will open. And you remember me, I'm a businessman. I have a company with 600 employees. If I perceive in you a certain attitude, etc., I'm not interested in you. When I hire you, if I hire you, it's because I perceive that you will help me. I will not hire you because you need a job. I'll hire you because I desperately need people who can surprise me with their abilities. And that's what I need more than anything. I need people who surprise me with their skills and abilities in every way. And I said, if you don't stand out, you know, you'll not go anywhere. So I was talking to these people like this, but not like Robbie Williams' teacher. I was just telling them a little bit about the real world from the point of view of a person who's been working in the real world for 50 years. And I said, this is the way it works. I desperately need people who can pull rabbits out of the hat. Pueden sacar conejos de la cistera. You know, to pull rabbits out of the hat. And so I spoke to them. Robbie Williams, I think he's still making music. I have no idea. I never was a fan of Robbie Williams, but he's a good singer. He's a good singer. So, no llegarás a ninguna parte con esa actitud. You won't won't, will not. You won't get anywhere. You won't get anywhere. Fíjate la pronunciación de won't, por favor. Si no lo puedes emular, no hagas contracción. You won't, porque lo dirás como want, desear, querer. Entonces despistará. You won't get anywhere with that attitude. No tengo nada que ofrecerte, lo siento. I have nothing to offer you. I have nothing to offer you. Oh, yes, I do. I have a job. Yeah. Peeling potatoes. Mira, necesito alguien que me pele las patatas. I need someone to peel the potatoes. You can peel the potatoes. Okay. For the minimum wage. Maybe after the, when the class is over. But the class is over right now. All right. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
Campamentos de verano Vaughan, porque aprenden, disfrutan, conviven, juegan, experimentan, hacen amigos y asimilan el idioma de forma natural y pierden el miedo a hablar, abriéndose paso en este complicado mundo de la comunicación en inglés. Cada año más de 3.000 familias confían en nosotros para el aprendizaje del inglés de sus hijos y su desarrollo personal, con una forma de trabajar motivadora y muy personal a través de un amplio abanico de programas que cubren las distintas necesidades de nuestros alumnos. La Coordinación Pedagógica de Vaughan asegura un ambiente de inmersión cuidado y de calidad. Campamentos de verano Vaughan, 91 133